Haken. She is my sister-in-law's good friend from many, many years ago. That's really our connection, Judy. I think through Penina, Penina Siegel.
Oh,
Right.
right, from way
We're
back.
like from the way back in the Siegels, and that's how we connected many years ago when we came to Yerushalayim, and we live in Nachlaot. And it's the closest thing to Tzfat in Yerushalayim. No, I live in Nachlaot. Now we live a little bit on the outskirts of Nachlaot, but for 12 years we lived in Nachlaot proper. So we always felt connected to Tzfat just because our place looked like it. And it's such a schus to be teaching women in Tzfat. It's like so much of what I learn as I work on Tehillim comes from the very place where you are, the thoughts and the development and the it's I can't tell you, coming from Chutz Laaretz 15 years ago, we made Aliyah from Baltimore, and now I give a shiur in Yerushalayim, which is beyond, like, that's such a schus to be able to not just teach Torah but teach Torah in Yerushalayim, and teach Torah in Yerushalayim, and I don't have to leave Yerushalayim, and I teach Torah in Tzfat. It's like heaven on earth, literally. I don't know. It's amazing. It's such a zchus, and I thank you for coming, and I thank you for asking Judy, and I thank you all for being part of what we're going to be doing the next 7 weeks. So I just want to begin with that because it just I'm so humbled and honored to be doing this with you. And I wish I saw most of you, but maybe at some point, if you're ready to turn on the camera, just so that I know who.
Yeah, and we'll all put on, everybody go run and put on their makeup and, put on their bathrobes and then we'll turn
It's
on
fun
our.
to put on makeup. We forgot what it means to put on makeup. I did it just a few minutes ago. I was like, wow. I remembered how to do it. What we're going to be doing in the next 7 weeks is we're going to be learning Tehillim together. And each week we're going to be looking at a different perek in its entirety, a different song of Tehillim. And we're going to specifically look at those Tehillim that are very timely. Either they're timely because of the situation we're going through politically and health-wise, timely because we're in Cheshvan and Kislev, timely because we're in the Parshios of the Avos. So we're going to be looking at something very, very connected to the time to make the Tehillim not just alive, but so relevant to where we are right now. Because Tehillim is the most powerful words that we have. They help, they are, they change us and they change the world. And what I'd like to work on each week with each different Tehillim that we'll look at is to see how those words of that particular song really can change us and how we can use those words to change the world. So let's begin with the question of what is the power of Tehillim? Why do we say Tehillim? Why is it that when something goes wrong, or when we want something to go right, or when something goes right and really goes right, we run to Tehillim? And it's not just us, it's hundreds of generations before us, starting with David HaMelech. And even David HaMelech learned so many of the Tehillim from the Avos, from Avraham, from Adam HaRishon, from Moshe Rabbeinu. What is it about Tehillim? And that's really what I'd like to work on tonight as an introduction to the next 7 weeks. But I'll start off with my personal story. My guess is it's not similar to most of yours. But for many years, I said Tehillim because that's what I have to do. I taught Tanakh, and then, from first grade on, you have to say Tehillim, you say Tehillim, you divide up the Tehillim, we divide up the Tehillim. But when I say I'm not like, I don't have your story, I have to tell you the truth. I didn't really get it. I said it because you have to say it, and I said it, but it didn't really talk to me. It was like, okay, you say Tehillim, and then I taught Tanakh for many years, and I love teaching Chumash and Navi and various things in Halacha as well. And I would get into that and really feel inspired by Tanakh, and then I would say Tehillim. It was two separate. You want inspiration and direction and meaning, you go to Tanakh, and then when you want to say what you have to say, you go to Tehillim. And many times, and I must have been in the 20 years that I taught before I got to Tehillim, many times people said, why don't you teach Tehillim? We need to learn Tehillim. And I was like, just say the Tehillim. Let's learn Parsha, you know, let's just say the Tehillim. And when I came to Israel, when I made Aliyah, and I wanted to get a job at a seminary, and they said, we'd love to have you, but and we'd like you to teach Tehillim. I said, come on, anything but Tehillim. I'll say Tehillim, I'll lead Tehillim. No, we need you to say Tehillim. That is the spot that's available. And that was the beginning of my saying Tehillim. My thought originally about Tehillim was they're really all the same. Once you said one, you've said them all. You know, why are there 150? You know, why don't we just have 10 of them? And really it was a direction Hashem was showing me so clearly. Hashem was pushing me into the direction of Tehillim. And Baruch Hashem, I found out how wrong I was about Tehillim. Tehillim is something that we say, absolutely. But Tehillim is the most inspiring, directing sefer that I've seen in Tanakh, that I've learned in Tanakh, that isn't in the world. And I think, and as I've, in the past 15 years that I've looked into various, I've gotten much more, I think as we all have, into like the self-development books and the seven habits and all those different things of you know, the top pop psychologists that come up with really practical ideas and inspiration. And people are getting more and more into nice memes and things to put on their refrigerator, nice sayings. And anything that we've seen in the popular psychology books, and there are many, many, I think if you go to a bookstore, the very few bookstores that they have left in America, but when you go, you'll see most of the books are self-help books. You know, they have a few books and different things, and then you have the cookbooks, the exercise books, the diet books, and then the self-help books. And there is so much of what I've seen that's really profound and meaningful in the modern self-help book. There is not one thing that I've seen that I cannot find a comparable pasuk and a more meaningful pasuk in Tehillim. So I think we can say that Tehillim is the most powerful self-development book that exists. We just have to know how to use it. And that's really what we're going to be doing in living Tehillim, looking at the psukim of Tehillim and letting them transform us and really using them to become better people. And with that, I'm going to go back and let's begin Tehillim. But we're going to begin Tehillim. Hopefully you have it, even though this one you know by heart. We're going to begin Tehillim by like cheating, by looking at the last page. Remember those days when you used to open a book and used to see where the ending was? We're going to look at the ending, the climax, the goal of Tehillim is Kuf Nun. You finally got to Tehillim 150, the last chapter. And I'm going to start from Pasuk Gimel, Hallelu B'Seika Shofar. Praise him with the blowing of the shofar, Hallelu B'Neva V'Chinor. Praise him with string instruments. Beautiful. Think of the contrast of the shofar, the loud noise in the violin or the harp. Hallelu B'Sof U'Machol. Praise him with singing and dancing. Your praising can have a rhythm. And not is it only that the praising is music and singing, but machol, move, dance to your praise. Hallelu b'minim v'ugav, praise him with minim and ugav are more soft instruments. Hallelu more soft melodic instruments. Hallelu b'tziltzle shama, praise him with the cymbals, the clashing of the cymbals, the clanging of the cymbals. Hallelu b'tziltzle strua, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. And notice we have all these different instruments, quiet ones, loud ones, melodious ones, rhythmic ones. Why so many different kind of instruments? And it doesn't mean necessarily that at all times you need to have an orchestra along with you. But what it means is that in everything that we experience, whether we're going through a high in our life or low in our life, a calm, a turbulent, an exciting, a disappointing, wherever we are on our course of life or our obstacle course of life, wherever we are, we have an instrument that we can use to praise Hashem. There is nothing in life that cannot serve as an instrument for us to praise Hashem. And that's how we end Tehillim, but then we get to the last pasuk. part one of the last pasuk that we're going to do. The last pasuk is after you've said, I don't know how many pasukim are all in Tehillim, but all of the 150 songs, we say, Kol HaNeshama Tehaloka Haleluka. All, let me translate it one way, even there are many ways of translating it. All of the soul should praise God, or all neshama could be like the word fish, where even in plural, it's said as singular. All souls should praise God, but we're not going to translate it that way. It's all of the soul, all of your essence, your entire essence should praise God. The word neshama, as you know, is related to the word nishima, which means breathe. And what happened is when we got our neshama, vayipach ba'apav nishmat hayim, we just said it 2 weeks ago in the parsha, Hashem breathed into man the breath of life, nishmas chayim, and Chazal tell us nishmas chayim, Hashem breathed into us, you have to imagine what this could have looked like, Hashem breathed into our nostrils, vayipach ba'apav, into his nostrils, nishmas chayim, the breath of life, Hashem gave Adam the neshama, his neshama. It was like as if he was breathing into Adam. Now the Medrash on Tehillim, which is called the Medrash Shochar Tov, says the following. Every time we breathe out, the neshama goes out with that breath and says, it was a nice knowing you, Rivki. Let me go back to where I really want to be. And God puts it right back into us. And it's as if, and it's not just the story of Adam. All the time, Vayipach Ba'apav is just the beginning of Hashem placing that neshama into each one of us. That's our life. That's our essence. That's the breath, our real life comes from the neshama that Hashem gives us. The neshama is ready to leave every time because it's had it being in this world and our earthly bodies, and Hashem puts it back in. So the Medrash Shochar Tov says, let's read Kol HaNeshama Tehalel Ka like this. For every breath, we should thank Hashem, or praise Hashem, not thank Hashem. Tehalel is a praise, not thank. For every breath we take, we should praise Hashem. Why? Because every breath is a new Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim. Hashem rebreathes into us our neshama, which is ready to, it's had it with us. But I want to translate it a different way. We're going to get back to this later. But Rav Hirsch says the following. He says, don't read it, and it's based on the Nefesh HaChaim and various other Mefarshim. Don't read it for every breath, but read it with every breath you take. You should thank Hashem. Kol HaNeshama. For or without, it's really like as if he's saying in Hebrew, al kol neshima or im kol neshima v'neshima tehalel ka. Every single breath you take, you should praise Hashem, not for the breath, but with the breath. Stop and think of what that means. Now you know why it's number 151, because why it's 150, because what would be 151? What else can you do when with every breath you take, you praise Hashem? What else is there to say? That's why it ends. That's the climax, because it's not just when you're hiding in a cave. It's not just when you're in the low points. It's not just when you're going to the Beis HaMikdash, but with every breath you take, you praise Hashem. David HaMelech is telling us about our essence. He's describing the person, the Meshorer Tehillim, the one who says Tehillim, is somebody who praises Hashem with every single breath he takes or that she takes. And parenthetically, we say this pasuk every single day in Psukei Dezimra, for those of you who say the entire Psukei Dezimra. And you say every single day, Kol HaNeshama Tehalel Ka, and you don't only say it once, do you? If you say that Perek and Psukei Dezimra, they say it twice, Kol HaNeshama Tehalel Ka Haluka, Kol HaNeshama Tehalel Ka Haluka. And you have to ask yourself, am I praising Hashem with every breath that I take at every moment in my life? Am I praising Hashem? Because if I'm not, there's a disconnect between me and the words. And then you have to ask yourself the next question, which is the obvious question. If I'm supposed to praise Hashem and I'm saying I'm praising Hashem with every breath, what does it mean to praise Hashem? Now, we know people, and it may even be people in this group, who say Tehillim all the time. But even those people don't do it with every breath, almost with every breath, but not with every breath. So what does it really mean to praise Hashem in order to then feel, am I doing what I'm saying that I'm doing? Kol haneshama tehalel ka, with every breath, you praise Hashem. Am I doing that? Well, what does it mean to praise Hashem? And that's really what we're going to work on. But before we work on that answer, that question, let's leave on the side, even though that is the critical question. To get to that place where we become a person, where our entire essence is that of praising God, we have to now start at the beginning to see how we're going to get there. So if that's the last pasuk of Tehillim, let's start at Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, and see how from there until the end of Tehillim, we're going to understand how we can get to a place where our entire essence is praising Hashem. So let's now look at the beginning of getting ourselves moving to that goal of praising Hashem all the time with all of our essence. Pasuk Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Flip back to the beginning of your Tehillim. Here we go. Tehillim, the book of praising Hashem. If someone says to you, tell me in three words or less, what is Tehillim about? What would you say? It's about?
Praising Hashem.
Praising Hashem. Tehillim, praising Hashem. Look at the first Pasuk. Ashrei. Ha'ish, asher halo, asher lo halach ba'atzas rasha'im. Praiseworthy is the one or the man, meaning man, woman, whoever, who did not walk in the ways of the rasha'im. Uvederech chata'im lo amad, and he didn't stand with sinners. Uvemoshav leitzim lo yeshav, and he didn't hang out with cynics. Praiseworthy is the person who didn't go on the wrong path, rather, ki im besaras Hashem chetzo, his desire was the Torah of Hashem. His passion was to do what Hashem wants him to do. Uvesoraso yege yomam valaila, and in his Torah, he meditates and he focuses on day and night. What does it mean in his Torah? Probably in the translation that you have, it might have his with a capital H, meaning and in God's Torah, in Hashem's Torah. He meditates and struggles with and works on. The Radak says, and Rashi says, it's not capital H, his Torah, but rather lowercase h. My passion is Torah, Ashra Ish, whose passion is Torah, and he finds his place in Torah. His specific, we all have specific parts of the Torah. Now, of course, we have to keep all the mitzvot, but there's certain mitzvot that we specialize in. And in his Torah, that part of the Torah that you really specialize in, you really are into it. You're into the chesed. You're into the tefillah. You're into kibbutz of aim. You're into Torah learning. Whatever that piece of your Torah is, that's really, really important to you. And that's the first two psukim, which is an amazing thing to think. When we're starting to read the book or say the book of praising Hashem, the very first thing says, before you praise Hashem, you have to be in a place of feeling praiseworthy yourself. It's an incredible thing. You don't go into Tehillim saying, I can't, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. You have to go into Tehillim, David HaMelech is saying, Ashrei Ha'ish. I feel good about what I am, who I am, what I can do. It gives us insights into David HaMelech too. How did he get through everything he was going through? He felt all the time. The beginning of any of his processes was Ashrei Ha'ish. I feel proud. I feel praiseworthy. I can make a difference. You cannot go and start praising God unless you feel praiseworthy yourself. The Tzidkas Hatzadik means, and by the way, on the side note, feeling good about yourself and feeling strong and praiseworthy and that you can make a difference begins with being able to say no to that which is not the right thing for you. It's very, very hard for an insecure person sometimes, and we're all I don't want to talk about you, but I can talk about me. You know, there's sometimes it's so hard to say no, and it's a problem. I don't really feel that inner strength. I feel like I can't make my own decisions or whatever it is. Sometimes we're afraid to say no, and we make mistakes, and we don't even make mistakes. We know we're doing the right things, but we can't, the wrong thing, but we can't say no. The first thing is feel strong enough that you know when to say no. The Tzidkas HaTzadik, Rav Tzadik of Lublin, who lived around the late 1800s, said the following. Ready for this? If you don't believe in your own greatness, it is a lack of amuna in Hashem. If you don't believe in your own greatness, it's a lack of amuna in Hashem. Before we start talking about and singing about how great Hashem is, you have to, the product of Hashem, that's me, that's you. You have to feel good about what he produced. And that's me and that's you. And we begin Tehillim. Before we start saying Tehillim, whatever Tehillim you might be on, think of just those two words, Ashrei Ha'ish. Praiseworthy is the person, the man, and that's me. I am praiseworthy. So as you begin saying Tehillim, sit up a little taller and a little stronger. And the Chazal, I'm sorry, sure.
But if you're a person who goes in the ways of Rishayim, and you're and the ways of sinners, you know, and if you go hang out with you know, Leitzim, so are you Ashrei Ha'ish? You know, you're
okay. So then, what does that tell you? It reminds you, like, hello, I want to be Ashrei Ha'ish. I'm not going there. Tehillim tells us what to do, so I'm assuming that you're not going there. But so I'm taking that message of Ashrei Ha'ish, but if you're not there and you're going out with the Leitzim, then you have another message in the first pasuk. I want to say Tehillim. I can't say Tehillim if I don't feel good about myself. I'm not going to feel good about myself ultimately if I go out with others. And that's what happens when you follow the wrong people and you follow the wrong direction. You don't feel good about yourself. And maybe you can go backwards, Judy, that if you don't feel good about yourself, often it's because you may be making, not all the time, sometimes it could be that you're going in the wrong direction, and that is what's making you not feel good about yourself. So you could check it. I never thought about it that way, Judy, but you could check it the other way. But clearly what this pasuk is doing is, first of all, it's not talking to God, really. You're talking to yourself, how you should feel. And if you don't feel that way, maybe it's because you're going in the wrong direction, or if you're going in the direction, you're never going to feel right. And if you never feel right, you can never get past Perek Aleph of Tehillim. You will never get to call on Neshama Ta'alaka. But what you're seeing is that living Tehillim is not just words we say, it's inspiration. We could go on and on and on just with this one pasuk and think through and meditate on it. There's so many words that people meditate on. This is a great pasuk to meditate on, and just meditate on, instead of English words or what, Ashrei Ha'ish, or Asher, you know, whatever, just say it again and again and again. There's no race to get through Tehillim. Sometimes also people, like, have to race through because they have so much to say. Just say this pasuk, and it's such a powerful change. Ashrei Ha'ish. And even the sound of it, you know, and it's so amazing. Now, the song continues and says, David HaMelech is not going to just tell us Ashrei Ha'ish. He's going to give us an image. He was an artist. He was a musician. He was an artist. He says, now look at this image. This is what you, I'm going to talk to myself. This is what Rivki Siegel looks like. This is what you look like. V'haya ke'etz shasula palgei mayim. And he, this Ashrei Ha'ish, this praiseworthy person, is like a tree that's rooted by so many sources of water. Asher piryo yitein b'ito, whose fruits are produced at the right time. You know, the apples that are coming right now, the pomegranates right now, the mangoes right now. If you bought a mango, I remember I wanted to make sure before the 3 weeks I would have a mango so that I wouldn't have to worry about making a shachiyana during the 3 weeks. So I got a mango, like, you know, 2 days before Shavasar Batamas. It wasn't like the mango that I just got this week. It's not. And those pomegranates that we have on Rosh Hashanah, they're not like the pomegranates that we're having now. It's just the fruit that we're going to make are like the perfect fruit at the right time. It's not going to be too sour or overdone. It's that tree that produces exactly at the height of the season. And unlike most fruit trees, the aleu lo yibol, and even after the fruits are gone, the leaves are all never going to rot, meaning they'll always be green. It's an evergreen fruit tree that always produces this perfect fruit. That's you when you are besora so yege yomam valayla, when you're passionate about what you do and you feel good about what you did because you feel proud of yourself. You're going to be, look at the nimshal here. V'chol asher yaseh yatzliach. What is this picture of a tree about? It's there to tell you that everything you do, you will be successful. If you do the right thing, you're always going to be successful. Really? Is David teasing us at the beginning? Are we teasing ourselves? You know, has it ever happened? Think about this, by the way. David HaMelech is saying, if you do your passion, if you do what Hashem wants you to do, you will always be successful. I want to throw out a question. If you know you're going to be successful, you know I'm going to be successful, what would you do? Are there any decisions that you would make differently, or any chances that you would take? Are there any phone calls that you would make? Are there any emails that you would send or things you would do in life if you knew you would be successful? Well, if you do what Hashem wants, this is what you're saying to yourself when you're saying Tehillim. If you do what Hashem wants you to do, v'sora so yege yomam v'alayla, and you know this is what Hashem wants from me, or you think this is what Hashem wants from me, you will be successful. How does that work? Has it ever happened maybe to somebody that you baked a cake for a neighbor who you thought really, really needed a cake, and you got there and there were like 25 cakes sitting out? Maybe in Tzfat that doesn't happen, but you know, like, or you baked the cake and it didn't come out, or you baked the cake and it was like a nice little applesauce cake, and you get there and someone's made this amazing chocolate lava cake and all those amazing things that some people do. You think like, I wasted my time. What about you daven really, that's not a good example, I guess, but I'll still give it. You daven really, really hard. No one ever thinks they wasted their time when they daven, but you still feel like it didn't really help. Or what about when you you were very honest and you actually did the right thing? You told the truth and then it didn't come out the way you wanted it to come out. Let me give you another example. You want to visit your friend in the hospital and she's in Haifa or in Tel Aviv. And so you rearrange your whole day so that you can go to the hospital. And you don't tell her that you're going to go because you don't know until the last minute that you're going to go. You don't know. You don't tell her. But you want to go. You make her a special meal and you go in your car, or you go by bus, and you really, it takes a long time to get there. And you take 2 hours. 3 hours, you get there, you rearrange the schedule, the children who are, you know, whatever you have to do at home. And you don't tell anybody that you're going because you just have this feeling, maybe I shouldn't say anything. So you get to the hospital and you're so excited to see her, and you know she's going to be so happy to see you. And you get near the room and you hear doctors coming in, and you know that, you know, this isn't the time for me to come in. So you go down and you walk around a little bit and see if there's anything you could drink, or, and then you come back half an hour later, and again, there's stuff going on in the room and people are coming in and out, and it would not be appropriate for you to come. And maybe an hour later, you come back and again, it's really not appropriate. Things are going on and it would be embarrassing for your friend to know that you were there. And you go home after staying for 3 hours in the hospital and driving for 2 hours to get there and to another 2 hours to get home. And you don't want to tell anybody that you went to the hospital and didn't see her, because it will only, that's not Bikur Cholim. That's not going to make her story better. So you don't tell anybody what you did, because if you tell anybody, it will make it not nice for her, and people will say things maybe that they shouldn't say. I don't know. I'm just coming up with a story like this. And so you land up, maybe you tell your husband or your best friend or somebody. And at the end of the sentence is, I wasted my time. what I could have done that day. I could have, who knows what you could have done, but I could have done so much and I wasted my day. I did nothing. And how does this work with the pasuk? The pasuk is, if you do a good thing, v'chol asher yaseh yatzliach. Did you ever say anything to anybody and you meant well, you really meant well, and you knew that it was the right thing, but the words didn't have the impact that you wanted it to have, didn't have the effect? How often it happens that we do the right thing, but the outcome isn't the outcome that we expected. And we think we did nothing and we were a failure. It was a waste of time in the real sense of the word. So what it is that we have a limited view of what success is. We think, and this is really, really an important concept, we think success is that we see an immediate positive outcome, or whatever immediate is. You know, we want to see a positive outcome, then we know it's successful. I believe if I do this, I'm going to get into this school, I'm going to make her happy, I'm going to daven, and I'm going to do challah bake, and this person's going to get married, she's going to have... I'm going to make the effort, and then the outcome will be successful if the effort comes out the way I wanted it to come out. I'm going to go for fertility treatments for who knows how long and do everything. I'm going to make my ishtadlus. I'm going to daven and daven and daven, and then I'm going to have a baby. And that's successful. We don't know what's successful and what's not successful. Or we know, actually, that's not true. If we do the right thing, the pasuk says, we will be successful. We can't determine the outcome, and we don't even know what the successful outcome is. We think we know, because sometimes we think we're actually God, but we don't know. Let me share with you a medrash, and here we're going to get into Rachel Imenu. We will end our medrash here with the story of Rachel. But I want to share medrash with you in the name of Rabbi Akiva, who was teaching his students, probably late at night like now, and the students were falling asleep. And he said to the students, in order to get them going, he said, gentlemen, I just want you to know, in the zchus of Sarah Imenu and her life of 127 years, she was zocha to, or Esther was zocha to rule over 127 provinces in the time of the Purim story in Paras, in Persia. Which means every year of Sarah's life gave Esther another medina, another kingdom. Another kingdom? What's a medina? Like
a country.
Every month gave her another province. Every week gave her another city. Every day gave her another village. Meaning every minute of Sarah's life that she did something valuable, and she spent every moment of her life to Hallel Ka, praising God, doing something valuable, she gave over to Esther the ability to rule over that other street, that next village. And because Esther was queen, she saved the Jewish people. So we know and we sing about Queen Esther, who saved the Jewish people, but Chazal are telling us not to take away from Queen Esther. But Queen Esther got the koach, Queen Esther got the inspiration, Queen Esther got the ability to be Queen Esther because of the way Sarah lived every moment of her life. She didn't sleep any moment away because it would have lost Esther another street in the kingdom of Paras. And then Chazal continue and they give more examples, and I can give many, many. I'm going to just give a few. But in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, next week's Parsha, you have Avram who took care of the guests and he gave them food and he gave them water and he gave them shelter. And Chazal say, because Avram in his state health-wise and the weather outside got up to do chesed to others and give them water and shelter and food, therefore Hashem gave Avram's children in the desert man and the ananim, the clouds, and the be'er and the water. And then once again, Chazal say, when we got into Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yoshua, once again we were able to have food and water and shelter. Why did we have that? Because of what Avram did many, many years earlier when he did a chesed for the malachim, which, by the way, did they even need the water and the food? They didn't even need it. But that doesn't matter. He did that action and therefore it was rewarded. And there are many, many of, and the Medrash continues. And in the future, it hasn't even happened yet. In the future, we're going to have water, food, shelter, because of Avram Avinu taking care of the angels. And it's very possible that me and you, that we have water, food, and shelter because of the zchus of Avram Avinu. And isn't that what we say every single day in davening? We say, Hashem, we may not be worthy of all the things we're asking for in Shemona Esrei. We know we're not. But you know who I am. You know who my grandfather was. My grandparents, you know, Avram, Yitzhak, and that's me. It's me. And then Hashem, Rivki. Okay, who knows about Rivki? But she's Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov. And so every single day we're getting good things in our life because of actions that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov did. Let me ask you something else, talking about Rachel Imenu. It's her yard site tonight. Hashem, there's a beautiful pasuk that you all know in Yirmiyahu. That Ash the Kol Barama Nishma, there's a voice. Rachel's crying, Ki yesh sachar lifulaseich, Hashem says, the Medrash says that Hashem says to Rachel, there's, you're going to get rewarded for your work, for your efforts. Vishavu banim ligvulam, and your nations and your children will return to their gvul, to their borders, to Eretz Yisrael. Now, Chazal say, what was the work of Rachel? What did she do? And Chazal explained, this is not the pshat of the pasuk, but Chazal explaining, this is what we all know, that when Rachel gave over the signs to Leah so that Leah wouldn't be embarrassed, that was her major effort. And what did she get for that? Did she get a husband who was always there with her? She had to wait for her husband. Did she get Yaakov saying, hooray, Rachel, you're amazing, you're amazing. I can't believe you did such chesed. Did she have children easily? Did she get back into Eretz Yisrael? The Ramban explains the reason that she died when she came into Eretz Yisrael is because Yaakov couldn't be married to two sisters. And since she was the second sister to get married, she was the first one out. Last one in, first one out. That's what happened to Rachel. So it wasn't worth it. You could imagine Rachel saying, it wasn't worth it. What did I get out? What did I get for it? And Hashem says, Yesh sachar lifulaseich. Vishavu banim ligvulam. Has it happened yet? So all that she did thousands of years ago, it's still the outcome. We're still waiting to see the outcome. So was she successful? Yes. Did she see the outcome? But I want to say one more thing, especially we have to say this tonight as we think about Rachel Imenu. Every single time that someone lands in Eretz Yisrael, and even more than that, they actually stay in Eretz Yisrael after they land permanently. We are bringing the outcome to Sarah Imenu's crying, to Sarah Imenu's efforts. Ki yesh sachar lifulaseich. Yes, it's going to happen big time with all of Klal Yisrael, hopefully very, very soon. But every time we come, it's as if Hashem is saying, ding, Rachel, ki yesh sachar lifulaseich. You see what you got? You got another person come back to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to get back to this in another minute. Rav Gedalia Shor in the Or Gedalia on Parshas Chayisara says the following. It isn't only the Avos. It's not only our fathers who have this eternal positive impact in the world. It is each and every one of us through our actions, through the words that we say, through the thoughts that we have and that we intend to do, or the thoughts that we just bring into the world because they come into our head and we explore them in a meaningful way. We impact the world permanently, positively, whether or not we see the result or the outcome immediately in our lives. If you look in the pasuk in Perek Aleph of Tehillim, if you go down another pasuk, another two pasukim, you'll see Ki Yodea Hashem Derech Tzadikim, because Hashem knows what you did and what you thought and what your intentions are. No one else may know that you visited your friend in the hospital, and no one else may know that you kept your mouth shut and it was so hard for you to not say Lashon Hara and people were upset that you didn't say that. No one else knows, but Ki Yodea Hashem Derech Tzadikim, Hashem knows what Tzadikim are doing, what they're thinking, what they're saying, and he takes that what they've done, and v'chol asher yaseh yatzliach. Hashem, like a tree, if you think about a tree, you know, we don't know where the apple came from that we ate today, and certainly, even if we're farmers and we saw the apple, we don't know the seed of the apple that that was planted, or where the original tree was for the seed that I received to plant another apple tree. By definition, trees give so much, and we don't know from where they came. And what happens is why am I saying this? Because Hashem holds on to every mitzvah we do. Every moment of Sarah Imenu's life, every moment of Rachel Imenu's life, every moment of Avraham, all the deeds that he did that he didn't see necessarily a positive outcome at the moment. But Hashem holds on to it, and he matches the deed that we did, the tefillah that we had, the thought that we had, and he matches it to the right match at the right time. And then he uses it to counteract an evil situation, or to bring positive when there's no positive reason to bring positive. Hashem matches our actions with what's going on in the world. So it's as if Hashem sees, oh, this person needs water. Oh, they're a kind person. Ah, I'm going to take the mitzvah of Avraham, who was kind, who gave water, and therefore I'm going to put it into this person. This person's not going to have a cup of water or food to eat or whatever it might be. It's constant. Hashem is constantly mixing and matching that which people have done and that which people are doing to that which is what is needed in this world. Am I explaining that okay? Because if not, I'm going to give you more examples. And what Olam Haba is, and the Nefesh HaChaim says the following. What is Olam Haba? What is so good about Olam Haba? Like food, you're not going to be interested in food. You don't have a body. Clothing, diamonds, a comfortable house. Like what is going to be so nice? He says, Olam Haba, what's the best thing we can have in the world and in life is nachas from what we do. Pleasure, a feeling that I made a difference. You know, someone smiles at you because you gave them something that makes you happier than so much more. And what Olam Haba is that every day, we're going to wake up, whatever that means, and we're going to see how the world is a different world because when I was here, I waited for my friend who was sitting in the hospital and didn't let her know that whole hospital story that I just gave. The world is a better place because of that action, which Hashem takes the thought I had. Hashem takes each moment of my trip. Hashem takes each moment of my waiting there, each moment of my keeping my mouth shut, and uses it to make the world a better place, maybe in China, maybe in the United States, maybe with my grandchildren, maybe with, who knows? And there are constantly stories of how we see that had we not gone to the hospital, had we not baked that simple cake, the world would not have been as good a place as it is now. And Olam Haba is we get to see this every day. And there's no tokef on this. There's no expiration. It's not chad pami. Every good thing we do, Hashem reuses it and reuses it and reuses it and reuses it at the right time in the right place. And we get to see the outcome of all that we did and how successful we were when we were in this world, no matter how long or how short we were here. Lehefech, this doesn't apply to us, but just so that you see the whole picture. In Gehenim, what's so horrible about Gehenim? What's fire if you have no body? Like, what's fire? How painful can fire be? But what it is that we look every day and we say, it's like our hands are tied behind our backs. And we see us about to say the Lashon Hara and thinking, should I say, shouldn't I not say? And we're saying, don't say it, don't say it. You're talking to yourself, or the person is talking to themselves from Gehenim, watching already what happened and watching himself make a mistake and saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing and not taking advantage of a mitzvah that he had and watching it and knowing I should have only kept my mouth shut. I should have only not gone there. I should have listened to my mother. I should have, could have. And there's nothing you could do other than watch yourself make your mistake and watch how your mistake, you thought it was a bad outcome then, or maybe it wasn't even a bad outcome then, but you will see how the mistake you made or how the chet that you did, the sin that you did, really, really destroyed so much that didn't have to be destroyed or prevented the world from being built in the way it needed to be built. And that's really what Gehenna is. I could have, I should have, I would have. And your hands are tied. There's nothing except watching. But we don't need to talk about Gehenna. After 120 years in Mirtz Hashem and Olam Haba, we're going to watch all the positive outcomes that come all the time from that which we've done in this world. So Ashrei Ha'ish. Even if you don't see that you're doing amazing outcomes in this world, because only Hashem controls the outcomes, we don't, you should feel praiseworthy because you have the power to change the world. And we remind ourselves at the beginning of Tehillim, if I make the right decisions, if I have the right thoughts, if I do the right things, I am so powerful. I will be so successful. I will be like a tree that's always fertile, giving fruit and nourishing the world all the time. They may not realize it's coming from me, just like we don't realize what tree we're getting our oxygen from, but that doesn't matter. We will see that in Olam Haba. Now, once you realize what's the Kesher to Tehillim, how powerful I am, the Kesher to Tehillim in this story that David HaMelech is giving of this image is how do we, now that I know how much power I have, how do I plant the seeds for this tree? How do I do the right things? How do I make the right decisions? And the message that the mashal tells us where the tree has all these different sources of water that nourish it. Now, how do you make the right decision in life? How do you become the strongest person in life, the most courageous person in life? By following the rest of the Tehillim. This is the purpose of Tehillim. The purpose of Tehillim, each one of those 150 Tehillim are another one of the Palgei Mayim, another stream of water, a source of water to inspire us and direct us and nourish us and give us the opportunity to grow so that we can produce and benefit the world. And Tehillim helps us not just say the best words to say words, but the best words that will direct our thoughts and help us become the best people we can be, make the best decisions and energize us in the best way. Hashem helps us. We connect to that source of water, that nourishment that helps us connect to Hashem, who is the true source of everything in life. So that even if we're angry, we can connect to Hashem. And even if we're sad, we can use it as a tool to connect to Hashem and grow. If we're frustrated, we can use it as a tool to nourish us so that we can produce. If we're extremely excited in our joy and in our triumph, we can use it as a tool. We can use our joy and triumph. That's what Tehillim helps us to do, to use that to get closer to Hashem, to strengthen us so that we can make the right decisions. Whether we're mima'amakim in the lowest place, Tehillim says, it doesn't matter, you're really low, k'rasicha Hashem, call to Hashem. You can call from those low places and get so high. It reminds us, hey, makaru v'nafalu v'anachnu kamnu v'nisodad. They, the evil people, the Yetzer Hara, the people who don't do the right things, the Rasha'im, they fall, they make a mistake, they go down, and they don't come up again. They're too afraid to come up. But Vanachnu, we're never afraid. We may have made the stupidest mistake. But Vanachnu, Kamnu, V'nisadad, we're always going to get up because we know Hashem, you're with us. Every song gives us the strength we need to use it as an opportunity, or the situation as an opportunity, or the moment as an opportunity to strengthen ourselves, nourish ourselves so that we can produce the best fruits that we can produce for the world. It teaches us how to dream. Esa enai el haharim. How do I lift my eyes to the mountains, to the, from where will my help come? But the first thing is lift your eyes, dream. Hashem, David HaMelech gives us these beautiful eyes, these yafei enayim. These eyes David HaMelech gives us is to see beauty in things that we just see as normal. The sunset, the sunrise, the trees, the animals, the synergy of the animals coming out at night, which we don't think is amazing and beautiful that the jackals are coming out on our streets at night. But David HaMelech gives us the eyes to see that as a beautiful picture of Hashem's world. And I'm just giving a few examples, but each Tehillim gives us clear directions of what we need to do and how we need to use that situation or that moment as a tool to strengthen ourselves so that we can produce and make those best decisions. So really, what we need to do is we really need to let ourselves be in the Tehillim. We need to see ourselves in the song. We need to see how the song is talking to us. And it's not just enough to say Tehillim and learn Chumash or learn Hashkafa Sfarim. You need to live Tehillim. It needs to be your words. It's like, remember many years ago when we used to have a Hallmark card, and you remember the stores that sold their Hallmark cards, and we'd spend a long time picking out the right card for the right person. And you'd give the person the card and they'd say, oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you so much for the words. And you, don't thank me, thank Hallmark. Did anyone ever say that? Because what Hallmark was doing was giving me the words that if I knew how to say it right, that's how I would say it, but they do a better job. So I sort of took it from Hallmark and made it my own. And when I made it my own, it really became my own. And that's really what Tehillim are about. It's about taking those words of David HaMelech and making them my own, so that when I'm saying Tehillim, I'm not saying what David said. I'm saying what David gave me the words that I say. It's I am the singer of Tehillim. If I could write like David HaMelech, that's how I would write it. Every Tehillim has a direction. Every Tehillim gives us that peace that we can connect to. Like, for example, in this first Tehillim that we looked at, now we could find many examples, but Ashrei Ha'ish, the very first two words of Tehillim is a directive, or a directive where they say, Ashrei Ha'ish, you need to feel good about yourself and what you can do. You have to stop and really live that Tehillim. And when you feel good about what you can do, I guarantee you, your decisions every day are different. Your courage, your tefillah, your interactions with others are totally, totally different. In other words, Tehillim is not just talking to Hashem. It is almost as if in Tehillim, we're not talking to God. It's as if God is talking to us. We're hearing the messages of what God really wants to tell us, of what we really need to hear of our neshama. It's going back in, and neshama, our life force, and the psukim of Tehillim are telling us what our life force is about. And often when you say Tehillim, all of a sudden a pasuk will like come out at you. And you've said Tehillim before. Everyone said all of Tehillim at some point. So what every day there's different messages that we need to hear. And all of a sudden we'll hear them through Tehillim. And when you hear them and all of a sudden a pasuk like, whoa, this is talking to me. Let it talk to you. Stop. Underline it, put a little note thing. Remember this pasuk, because today Hashem is directing you. It's Hashem is talking to you when you say Tehillim. But I want to go back and answer that first question that we had, because that's really the question that we have to get to. Living Tehillim is it's all about living Tehillim, but what is the power of Tehillim? And I think we can go not only the power of Tehillim, but the power of Tehillim is actually the praising of Hashem. That is what Tehillim is about. I just skipped something. I'm sorry. Can I back 1 second? Sorry about that. Tehillim, when we talk about the power of Tehillim, when we follow the directives of Tehillim and we let the songs move us, we transform ourselves. And our transformation through the directives of the Tehillim now gives Hashem tools to change the world. So people say, well, if you daven for someone, daven, say Tehillim. It's not just about saying Tehillim. We inspire ourselves so much that really at the end of Tehillim, you should be at a different place than you were at the beginning of Tehillim. And that personal transformation that you went through now becomes like an antibody in Hashem's hands. It's a tool, it's a sword, whatever you want to call it, whatever image you want to imagine. And now it gives Hashem something else to use, kaviyachol, to combat the negative situation that's happening in the world. So Tehillim is about changing ourselves and inspiring us to change and develop. I don't want to say change, but us to develop. And then Hashem takes our development and uses it as a zechus to change whatever situation, to save us in war, to make us healthy, whatever it might be. But now let's go back to the question that we started with. What does it mean? The last of Tehillim says, my entire essence is about praising Hashem. So I know about Ashra Ish, praising myself. What does it mean that everything I do should be praising Hashem? What does it mean to praise Hashem? Because that's really the hardest, or seemingly hardest, directive in the whole thing. Like, what am I supposed to do? So ask yourself the following, and it talks about in Perek Shira, where the heavens praise Hashem, the flowers praise Hashem, the animals praise Hashem. We say it in Tehillim, Yotesa, Shamayim, Misaprim, Kavod Kel. The heavens talk about the glory of Hashem. Think about this. How does a waterfall praise Hashem? How does the peacock opening up its feathers praise Hashem? I think I just told you the answer. But when nature acts as itself, when the sun rises and sets, and when nature brings out the beauty and majesty of its creator by doing what it's supposed to be doing, that is its praise. So that's nature. It's almost like automatic for nature. But let's take it for us, the next step. When we follow the directives that we receive, when we act on our dreams, when we think incredible thoughts, when we say beautiful words, even if we say them just to ourselves, when we use our talents and our dreams and our thoughts to bring out Hashem's glory by being who we need to be, that is the greatest praise of Hashem. In other words, me being the best me, and you being the best you at every moment is the only, it's the best way, and it's the only way to praise Hashem. And that we can do at every moment. At every moment, there's another way that I can actualize myself and do what I need to do this moment. And when I become who I need to become in this moment, I am bringing out the glory of my creator. That is praising Hashem. Kol haneshama tahalel ka, all of your essence, with all your essence, with every breath, we praise Hashem, because with every breath we do what Hashem wants us to do at this moment. And that is so beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful than a person who's doing what they need to be doing at the moment. And let's go back to this last pasuk, because I'm going to translate it in a way that you've never heard of, most likely have never heard of before. It's absolutely incredible. I'm translating it the way the Vilna Gaon translates the pasuk. He says at the end of Tehillim, after you've gone through 150 prakim, don't we read it as everyone, every soul should praise Hashem, or all of our soul, all of our essence should praise Hashem. Read it like this, he says, Kol haneshama kama tehalel ka. Ka, Hashem, is the subject. Every soul, Hashem will praise. At the end of Tehillim, where we go and actualize ourselves through every situation that we can be in, when we use every story in our life as a tool to become stronger and better and produce, which is what praising Hashem is doing what we need to do. At the end of the story, at the end of the book, is Kol HaNeshama, every person's essence, Hashem will praise. The end of Tehillim is not us praising Hashem, and it's not us praising ourselves as we do in the beginning. It's Hashem praising us. Yes, Rifki, you did it. I love the way you acted today. I love that decision that you made. I love the fact that you didn't say what you wanted to say and you held it back. I love the fact that you baked that cake, even though your neighbor really, at the end, you saw she didn't need it. I love the fact that you went to the hospital, even though you couldn't go in. I love the fact that you made the effort to do and bring things to the world that the outcome didn't come up, or maybe the outcome did, but I love the fact that you tried and you did what you needed to do, because the outcome is not in our hands. It's just the process to get to the outcome that is in our hands. And Kol HaNeshama, we go to sleep every night. We enter Hillel every night with Hashem praising us. Actually, we say it in Pesukei Dizimra in the morning. And if you think about it, we said at the beginning, and you may have thought it was like a rhetorical question, what would be Tehillim 151? After saying, Kol HaNeshama Tehalel Ka, all of your essence, you should, with all of your essence, you should praise Hashem. What can you say now? What do we say as soon as we finish Kol HaNeshama Tehalel Ka? And you're, you know, for those who are Tehillim sayers, what do you do soon afterwards? If you look at a Tehillim, what does it get you to do? You go back to Aleph again. Because the only thing you can say after Hashem, kol haneshama tehalel ka, that Hashem is praising me, the only response I have is ashrei ha'ish. How praiseworthy is the person, etc., etc., etc. Because I can do so much. And that's why when you finish Tehillim, you start right again. Because now, but you're not at the same place as you were the first time you said Tehillim. Now, once you feel Hashem saying, wow, I'm praising you, Rifki, put your name in there. Now, we go back and we're saying, Ashrei Ha'ish, I feel praiseworthy. And now I'm going to even produce more. And more, when someone gives you a pat on the back and says, great job. When your teacher told you, great job on that test that you got a 95 on, my guess is that next test you got a 95 or a 96, if nine, unless you actually couldn't. So what we did tonight, we did a lot of stuff. We touched on the power of Tehillim. The power of Tehillim is that which changes us and it inspires us to change. And Hashem uses our transformation to do good. And so the power of Tehillim is to affect us. And we, our challenge is for us to access the power that we need to feel from each and every one of Tehillim. Our challenge is to find ourselves in the Tehillim. And when we find ourselves in the song and we let the song inspire us and direct us, then the song is so, so, so powerful. So something to think about. This is the beginning. So now our goal for the next number of weeks is going to be to look and find that power for us in the song that we're going to look at. So any questions before you go? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Wait, who's asking?
My name's Doba.
Okay.
So, first of all, beautiful, excellent, gorgeous. I really enjoyed it. If we wouldn't have heard the shiur tonight, we would have, like, maybe just said Tehillim, right? Without thinking of all what you said. So what is the source of that, of just saying Tehillim and that it'll...
Okay. Okay. Because I know I have a 7-week course, I didn't talk about it now. But there is something about the power of the letters, the Hebrew letters. I'll give you very briefly, like when we talk about water, we say water, okay, because we need to say what this is, and I need a word for this is water. But if I said this is H2O, which is correct, it's H2O, it's two hydrogens and an oxygen, however that works, you know, but that's what it is. Mime is water, actually is just like water is two hydrogen and oxygen. Water is a mem, a yud, and a final mem. There's something, it's the letters are chemical, what do they call it? The periodic table elements. The letters are the elements that Hashem used to create the world. Again, I don't understand that. I do know, I mean, I'm sure you've also, you live in Sfat, so my guess is you know that there's so many beautiful ideas of each letter does so much more. So, when we say the Hebrew letters, even if we don't know what we're saying, if you mix two hydrogens and an oxygen, you may not know what you're doing in the lab, but you're going to form water. Do you hear what I'm saying? So when we say the Hebrew words correctly, and we're saying to them, it's going to do something spiritually in the world that we have no idea and we don't know how it works, but we do know because it just works that way, that when you put those two letters, if you say Tehillim in English and don't know what you're saying, doesn't work. If you say Tehillim in Hebrew and don't know what you're saying, there is some type of spiritual force that comes. And that's 100% level one, very important, which is why if you're going to say it in Hebrew and you don't know what it means, make sure you say it properly, because you don't, it's like if you put three hydrogens in an oxygen, you could mean well and say water, 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 and think water, but if it's three hydrogens, it won't work. So you have to say very, very carefully, and it does have some power, and I don't understand more than that. But if you use the Tehillim in addition to transform yourself, what it will do, it won't just change the spiritual energies in the world. It will change you, and your behavior and actions will change spiritual energies. And that I can't understand. And so I don't want you to think if you don't know what you're saying, you shouldn't say it, because there is a power to the Hebrew words themselves because of the letters. And David HaMelech understood some of this. Did I answer more?
If we're just learning Hebrew, like I'm kind of in between.
Wait, who's talking to you, Hannah? Hi, welcome.
Thanks. So if we're in the process of learning to daven in Hebrew, so would it be better to just try to do your Tehillim slowly and in Hebrew versus doing it in English and trying to get into the meaning? Like
both. Do both.
And does English have some value?
Okay. No, that the whole shiur was about the English as the value, meaning if you let the Tehillim talk to you, and you are inspired by the Tehillim to strengthen yourself, to have more courage, to dream, to think differently, then you're changing unbelievable things in the world, because you're changing yourself, change the world. But I just want to throw out an idea to you, Hannah. You should do most of it in English, because otherwise it's really hard. It won't be that inspiring at all. And it when you find a pasuk that you really like in English, like this pasuk really talks to me, learn that pasuk in Hebrew also, so that you get the whole package. Like then it's going to be amazing between the synthesis of the letters and your own personal connection to that pasuk. It's going to be amazing. So instead of trying to do everything, if you find something that you really like, and maybe once a month you pick a pasuk, and this is going to be my pasuk for the month that I'm going to say in Hebrew, and I'll say it every single day in Hebrew. And of course I know what it means in English, and the power of that is going to bring such good to so many.
Oh, that's such a great idea. And like I've been, and now during the corona, you know how we've had, each of us have had these special benefits that we were not expecting. So I started training myself to daven in Hebrew. So I got like the whole mincha in Hebrew now, and doing it really slow and like learning the words, and I pause and I make sure I know what each word means. And so, you know, Tehillim now it's going to be that, like it's a gradual process and I have to be patient, but you know, every week or so I just get inspired. Oh, I'm going to learn this part in Hebrew now, you know, like an assignment.
But remember, it's not the outcome. It's the process. The reward you're getting. That's Rachel Imenu's story. Her story was she only lived process. She didn't see outcome.
Oh yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And also, you know what? Like we're supposed to have so much focus when we're davening. And if I'm really, really trying to learn, I'm focused. And I thought, you know what? When I know all this by heart, like the Birkat HaMazon, sometimes like our mind can drift because like we really know it. And I thought, this is a really special time that I'm in between knowing it, like because I have to be so focused. Maybe I don't know.
You know, I'm listening to you. I'm jealous of you, Hannah. No. Wow. You're right. You know it by heart. So I could do multitasking and during, I don't want to say terrible things about myself. I just talked about Ashrei.
Hang laundry. Yeah.
But it's not good to multitask. Baruch Hashem, Hannah, you have a real distinct advantage. You should know. You're right.
Ifka, I have a question.
Yes, Nechama, yes. I know you. Nechama. How are you?
How are you? I knew you 10 years ago at the OU Center.
I know.
But now we made Aliyah and we live in Zichron Yaakov, so it's really nice.
You're from Boston, right?
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Remembering, and you're from Baltimore, right?
That's right.
Okay. And you knew some people in Boston that I knew. I can't remember who it is right now, but I know that we knew somebody in common. But anyhow, I wanted to ask you, I'm a member of two Tehillim groups, and it probably could be more than that, but I think two is enough for me for now. But I'm just wondering about the tension that I feel sometimes to get through the book that they assign me to. And for me, it kind of takes a little bit the joy and the connection to the words. So sometimes I don't say it just at the right time. I might wait, you know, later in the day or the next day even. And how important is to be like to have all of Sefer Tehillim said together as a group, as opposed to on your own?
Okay. Let me just answer a few things. Number one, if you can't do the whole thing, don't be embarrassed. That's the beginning of Tehillim. Know when you can say no. Isn't that the first possible? Know when you can say no. And that doesn't mean only know that I'm not going to eat this because it's not kosher. No, it's not the right thing for me to say 15 Tehillim every day. It's not going to be, I can say three. Will you still include me in your group? I'll say three and know when to say no. It's not the right thing. Also, another idea, and in addition to this, is that when you say Tehillim, and sometimes there are occasions that you have to say Tehillim, and because there is a power to the letters, as we spoke about before, it's not the only power, but it's part of it. But do this. As you're going through the Tehillim, sometimes, like as you're reading it, all of a sudden something will hit you.
Yeah.
And you're so busy finishing Tehillim that you just go on, and by the time you finish Tehillim, you're on to something else in life, and you didn't even remember that that pasuk hit you. So have in your Tehillim, this is my Tehillim, so you'll see, I have it, these sticky notes.
Well used. Right? Well used.
And when you get to a pasuk that all of a sudden talk to you, just put it, and this is also for davening. You know, you're in the middle of Shemone Esrei, and all of a sudden you realize, like, Slach Lanu Avinu really hit you today in more ways than just physically, you know? But you have to go on to finish Shemone Esrei. Stick the sticky note in that place. Keep going on. Finish your 4 or 5 prakim, not 20, okay? And then afterwards, go back, and you remember, now you have that pasuk, and it's going to make your whole Tehillim more meaningful, because you know that as soon as you finish Tehillim, you know exactly what God was talking to you about today. Go back, and that's your pasuk. Write it out in Hebrew, put it on your, or English, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your notebook, say it another 5 times until you memorize the pasuk, because that's the pasuk that you needed to hear. That's finding yourself in Tehillim. Hashem showed you exactly where you are today. And then you don't have the pressure of like stopping here and just meditating on it and then not finishing what you have to do. Because if, as long as you know that you have a marker, you can go back and you'll feel so good.
That's a good answer.
I've heard from people who do this, and they share with me sometimes. I get notes. This is my pasuk, and I don't know what they're talking about. Remember, Rivki, you said? So I would recommend that. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to tell you, I left my email on the chat. If you have any questions that you want me to address before next week's class, that you want me to think about and let you know, please feel free to email me your questions and I'll address it. And the nice thing is it's just the beginning of our journey together. So
I don't see the email on the chat.
You do, from me to everybody, from me to everyone. If not, how else can I send it to you? It's rivkagsiegel@gmail.com. You can look on my, I have a website with short Tehillim thoughts, livingtehillim.com. You can go on my website and there's plenty to keep you busy. Livingtehillim.com, and that will also give you the contact information. So you can contact me, rivkagsiegel@gmail.com. Because I'm happy to, we have enough time to really work together to learn together and work out things.
How are you thinking of organizing? Are you going to go by like, because like you can't do all of them by.
No, I can't. I'm going to do each week. I'm going to do one. I want to do one in its entirety every week. And I'm not sure the order of what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do Tehillim that are really relevant to where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you know, maybe what I'll do is I'll let you know by Monday, which one I'm going to do. And
you need to have our emails.
Yeah, you know what? I'm happy, or maybe as Judy, I can send it to you and you'll send it out, or I'm happy to have whatever works for you.
Oh, so I received it by a WhatsApp group. So I don't know.